Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy, your host of the McCarthy Project, where we have been attacking life and sport for a long, long time, for almost 12, 13 years now. And I am really looking forward to today's show because I think this is going to be the funnest look at football in a while that most people have kind of opened their mind to, because I think that a lot of these in this world and society today, football has become a very serious business, and fantasy football and watching 16 different pitchers in the pitchers and managing the stats and all that kind of stuff. And I think sometimes you just need to step back and laugh. And I do feel that after today's show, if you haven't laughed a little bit, then you need to just take a chill pill, but I'm sure that's not the appropriate thing to say. But nonetheless, I am looking forward to talking with Tracy Lynn today about football, about her perspective, because she has a great story. So with that, Tracy Lynn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. Well, before we get started into talking a little bit about philosophy, which I think ultimately is where we want to go, but give us a little bit of a history about what was sport, or what was the world of sports, what did it mean to you as a young person, and then as you've grown up, what has it kind of transpired into?
You know, growing up, I watched sports. I was a hockey fan, Canadian girl, obviously. I never understood sports. I dabbled in a few things here and there on my own, playing it, but I could never figure out how a man could watch sports all day long and be so focused and so in tune in the game when I can't even get them to talk to me for 2 minutes straight. So when I started looking into this, wow, there's something about this. I'm going to look into it. Got into it, realized I need to learn sports. I need to understand it. I need to speak it, live it, feel it, so that I can learn to communicate with a man. So that's how I entered into this wonderful world of football.
And it's funny because there's a lot to be said about that, in today's world, it's hard for us to focus on dinner and getting together with a family, but boy, when a football game comes on, boy, we are locked in, ready to rock and roll. I mean by the more male persuasion, but it really is true. You get in there and you're so focused. And have you really figured out what was it or what is it about football that makes people so engaged?
You get to have a nap on Sundays. No, you know what? It's a ritual. Like every Sunday, it's not only family day and you're going to have that great meal. You're going to watch some amazing football. And it's the violence that I think that really, it's the aggression on that field. I mean, if we've had a really crappy week on our end, it's watching the game and seeing them take it out in the field, and we're like, yes. And we feel part of it because, football's all about you mess with one, you mess with them all. So we feel like we're part of it. And it goes to the whole ritual part of it. And you know what? It's sad to say, but egos are killed every Sunday, and we look forward to that.
Yeah, that's probably true because it's like the warrior spirit, back in the Roman days where they put the two guys into the arena, and they were going to battle out, and it really is. I do agree because I think there's a lot to be said, where you're competing, you're in on your team, you're emotionally engaged, and when they come through, you can go absolutely ballistic and through the roof. And when they don't come through, you can go down the dumper with them. It really is something that I think somehow we've connected really, really closely with football and sport in general as well.
Yeah, we've connected with the player, not only the team too. So, again, going back to the egos are killed on every Sunday, it's not only the team, not only the player, it's the fan that's watching it, unfortunately. We feel it. It's our whole life. I mean, we look forward to Sunday football. And, you know, that's where the whole pigskin lipstick came up, because women need to learn how to avoid the sports divorce. Because when it's football season, I'm sorry, ladies, but your husband or your boyfriend, they have a mistress, and it's called football. That's life.
It's true. It's funny because I remember as a young kid, it's almost like you're trained, you know, as a young kid to sit there. I mean, because you think about three games, you start at 12. Well, there used to be Sunday Night Football, at least in the NFL anyways. And, you know, you would go basically from 12, and now you can go to 10:30. And then you're not just watching the one game, because when we were younger, you only got to watch the one game that they broadcast. Now you can watch all the games at one point, you know, if you've got the NFL Network where you got all the different pitchers in a pitcher and all that kind of stuff.
And then you bring in the fantasy football. So there's another reason why we're obsessed with it, because you may have money on the line or you've got points on the line, and you want to win. Nobody wants to lose. I'm sorry, but you don't want to lose on Sunday.
Exactly. And then also another thing, too, before we go in a different direction, but on the fantasy line, if you lose to that one girl that really don't care and she just puts her names down and she beats you by 30, you know, I'm sure that's the ultimate embarrassment, you know, in their mind.
Oh, yes. Oh, I loved last season. It was great because I was able to do that. Put a lot of men to shame last year.
Exactly. And it's funny because
it was great.
It was. And the funny thing is every time, you know, I'm not a fantasy guy. I enjoy the game, but I've never been able to, and maybe it's just because I've never invested the time to sit down and really study it, you know what I mean, and get the magazine and see who's injured and who's playing who and all that kind of stuff. But you look at that, I mean, I looked at a couple of those magazines when I did it a couple of times, and I'm like, whoa, you're like literally a coach. You know, you have injury reports and how they did against this defense, and it really does go quite in depth.
Yeah, you're getting in against the spread, and you're trying to figure it out, and let me tell you, it's actually quite exciting, not going to lie.
Exactly. All right, so now we come back from the other direction. Instead of talking about from the male perspective, today we are going to look at it through the pigskin lipstick eyes to say, okay, what would you recommend the ladies to do to start to engage or start to figure out a way to eliminate the sports divorce?
They have to embrace their man, okay? They have to embrace their passion for the sport. It's never going to go away. You can fight it till you're blue in the face. It's never going to go away. He is going to always play it, watch it, be it, live it, and breathe it. So a woman has to embrace the passion, accept it, key word right there, and he will then accept in something that she really likes, I would hope. Works both ways. But that's not, we're not talking about relationship therapy right now. But they have to embrace it, understand it.
I think ultimately that's what it is. I mean, you got to give a take in this world.
Yeah, you do, give and take, but they have to accept it. So that's the key thing to start. Accept that, you know, boyfriend or hubby loves sports. They're never going to give it up, and this is life. That's why I say be involved in the sport. Don't just sit there and nag. Be involved. Get your jersey on, find your team, ask questions, obviously not during the game, because huge no-no. Learned that one quite fast. But it's all about accepting it and learning it. And you know what? One of the guys said to me, you really have to accept the violent part of it. And as females, we're kind of trained not to be violent. Whereas the men, again, going back to the warrior, you know, caveman years and whatnot, they love it. So we need to accept him.
Now, this is another thing, too. Before we go down, because I think we talked about it a little bit before you came on air about the injury side. You know, and I think in today's world, there is so many people, there's a 12% chance of this and a 3% chance of that, so I'm not doing it. You know, and they think that they can control life in a certain way.
Yeah.
But let's go down, let's go back over. Before we go there, though, I want to talk, what are your top five tips for people, or for ladies, other than accepting it, because that is a big deal, because then you can't nag anymore. You have to actually either sit down and at least look halfway engaged. And the trick is you don't have to even be, you know, engaged. You just have to look like you're engaged.
Yeah, and I always tell women when I talk to them and I do my speaking sessions, I say, you know what? You're not the only one that doesn't understand the game. I'm going to guarantee that probably 5 out of the 10 guys you're sitting with don't understand it either. They're just pretending. So, you know what? Just fake it. So when you say five things, I mean, really, I don't know if there's 5 key things for women. I mean, obviously, as we said, accept it, learn it, be it. You want to be the game. I mean, if you're going to be sitting with someone who is a fan, you know what? Spice it up. Pick a team. Don't pick one because he or she likes it.
Or
no
a kind of cool colors or something like this.
Yeah, just, you know, leave the pink jerseys alone. you know, pick. And the other thing, too, learn the team, okay? Figure out what the positions are. Why is that person doing that? You know, why is that person standing there? As I learned, tight end isn't just, you know, tight ends on the field. It's an actual position that somebody is playing. So you need to do your research, and I think that that's key. Learn the lingo. When a woman does all that, it would be easier for her to accept it because now she's able to communicate with her husband or boyfriend, partner. And, you know, I think the guy enjoys that. You know, like, hey, wow, she's taking the time to learn the game. I bought the books. I write about it. I read it. I play it. I'm getting involved in it because I think you need to understand all aspects of it.
And the funny thing is, I'm going to give one story, and then I'll let you finish, because I think it's totally critical. My mom is 68 years old, you know, if you will. Didn't play sport. Yeah, didn't have any interest, you know, so I had kids. And now my kids are 15, 16 years old. We're basketball, but you can apply it to football. And I sat down last week with her, and this is a major group. She actually said, well, this is what they're doing, and this is why they're doing it. And I'm like, wow. That was good. I was like, dang, that's my mom. You know,
exactly.
I was so proud of her. You know, it really is true. What you're saying is true.
You didn't expect her to say that. Yeah,
no.
And again,
and when they
learning,
did, they're like, dang, that was good. I like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you're pretty cool, mom.
That, you can sit by me more often now if you want. You know, and that's the type of thing that I think what you're saying is that you don't have to be – read all the magazines with them and do his draft and all that kind of stuff, but just be engaged enough to ask a good question or make, hey, I saw that happen, or gosh, why did they do that? Or just a good quality question is they would
and
love
you know
to play
what?
Off
you
about
can,
there.
Another rule I learned, as I said, you don't ask questions during a play, wait till commercial break. That's your time because asking a guy, you know, why did he do that, or what's he doing? Oh, that guy's so cute. What's his name? It just doesn't work in the game of football. It's not cute, ladies. Trust me. You'll get kicked out of the little party fast. So it's
you're not
a place where you're going to have.
You're pinpointed really fast.
Yeah. It's all trial and error. I've been through it all. I put everything that I say, I have put to the test. Okay, so I'm not going to say something or tell you to do it if I haven't tried it already. But like I said to a couple girls, leave the girly drinks. You don't need a girly drink. Grab a beer, have some wings, eat like a dude, play like a guy, sit there and watch the game and have fun.
Just don't itch. That you got. There has to be something.
Yeah. Put your jersey on, ladies. Don't worry. The wing sauce will come out. It's all good.
Exactly. All right. We're going to go. It's just funny because it's almost like when you have a conversation like this and you're talking like you are, it's like, oh, ouch, ouch, you know? And you're like, oh, I don't like a guy right now, you know, because you won, you know, and you know you've done that to your wife a million times. You know?
Oh, yeah. Hey, and like
funny.
I said, I put everything to the test. And you know what? The best thing is I keep it real. So I'm not out there saying to you, I treat women on pigskin lipstick as sophisticated, intelligent women. I'm not going to treat them like they like they're stupid and say, "Well, this is a ball. Okay, this is what the football players use." Because I'm sorry, if you don't already know that, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. So again, pigskin lipstick is for sophisticated, intelligent women who want to learn and understand the game of football because they want to embrace it. So they could be using it as a tool for their man to communicate.
Yes.
And then I took the different spin of, wow, great tool to use to communicate with your kids.
Yes.
And
see, that's another thing too.
Cool.
Before we go down that route, talk to us a little bit about what you see as the current status of the role of women in sports related to their, I mean, I'm not talking what the solution is, I'm talking what is the problem areas. What are they doing that's holding people back?
Like as a reporter going into the business or as
no,
a professional
more
player?
Like, more like, I would say more like it. Like, talk to us if you were a mom of a 16-year-old football player, you know, and you're raised in a society where control is king, and the law of averages say you're going to get hurt, you know, which if you play any sport or you do anything in life, there's a law of averages. But we call them helicopter parents, where they basically helicopter all over trying to stop Johnny from getting hurt. And
you know,
or
it would be great
to
wrap our kids in bubble wrap. I mean, you and I both know that. We don't want our kids to get hurt. And I think that one of the main issues as a parent, I mean, my son plays a lot of sports and so does my daughter. The key thing is we're not educated enough. We only hear the bad stories of the sport, more so football for some reason. We only hear about the, you know, the issues of how many concussions, you know, player A has received and that's why he did what he did. We don't get to hear the successful stories of athletes after the field, beyond the field.
Yes.
So, again, as parents, we have – our education is we are so blind to the good stuff that can happen in a sport and how good it can be for a child. So lack of communication, lack of education.
And, see, when you talk about that is the communication piece – one of the great things that you can do for your kids is to, you can be a helicopter parent, but you also have to allow them, tell them what's right and wrong. Don't try to be an offensive line for them. You know, they're the running back and you're going to run over everybody in the process so that your son can get the play, if you will. If you would take the time to educate them on decisions of, you know, you didn't get to play. This guy was better. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm just there to have fun.
Yeah.
Well, then, hey, that's the greatest thing ever. Go there and have fun. Oh, I want to play. Well, then
you've
got to get
better. I think
that's
key to say, you know, you're there to have fun. But the other issue that we have, and especially as parents, and I sit back, believe it or not, I will sit back and I won't say a word. That's hard for me sometimes because I want to get my point across, because especially if something's happening on the field, but I'm not the coach, so I'm being, you know, good mom that's just sitting on the sideline. Is some parents, it's all about winning. It's all about being the best and showboating on the field. And, you know, yes, you know, I'm the best and I'm the I want to be the quarterback. I want to be this and I want to be that. And you know what? I think as parents, that we created that. And cocky attitudes don't belong on the field because that's why kids are getting hurt.
Yeah.
They don't know how to lose. They don't know how to accept the game or play the game with passion. You have to love that sport, I think. You've got to live it, embrace it, and be passionate about it to be successful at it, right? So
yes.
Parents, again, communicating with their child, yeah, it's great to win, but you know what? Life isn't about winning. You're not always going to win. So go back to the locker room, figure it out, what the problem was, so the next time you know you're not going to do that again, right?
Yes. You know, and this is the other part, too, is to – that is – a much healthier approach for your kids than to shelter them so far where they didn't even get to even realize it's like they had a false sense of reality, you know, because they didn't get the, they're wrapped in the bubble wrap and they're like, you know, I really don't want to be here. You know, I got hit one time and I'm not feeling so good about that, you know, and, And yep. I really don't want to be, but my mom told me that I needed to suck it up and get out there when she's purposely putting the bubble wrap back around. And he's like, I'm confused. I don't really want to be here, Mom. You know, and you can't
and
play
football. And if the kid doesn't want to be there, exactly. Why are we living out our high school dreams for our kids? I didn't make the cheerleading squad. Am I going to put my kid and my daughter and say, you have to be a cheerleader? No.
Yes.
You do what you want. My son is playing football. We have no one in our family that plays football. It was just, you know what? I'm like, oh, I really like football. And he goes, Mom, I want to try it. I put him in there. And last season, he got his first concussion. He got slammed. And he was sitting on the concussion bench. But when you go back to that, it was like he didn't want to go back on the field, but I told him, you go and you do it because you're not going to give up.
Yes.
He got hurt. Big deal. What happened? And it's about analyzing. And I sat down with the coach and we said, you know, we had to analyze this play and show him what had happened so that the next time he would know, keep your eyes on the hips because hips don't lie, right? So
yes.
It's a learning process.
Because this is the other part, too, you know, is that, and this, I think, gets back to that warrior spirit thing, is that society today is by this helicoptering control freak people is mm-hmm. actually making us so soft as a society, because we, as soon as something negative happens, now I'm not saying that it's, you know, injuries. As a strength coach, I have seen enough injuries. In fact, my daughter is just going through ACL surgery, had a non-contact
wow.
ACL injury. So I know about, I'm not talking about something that I don't understand, but
mm-hmm.
it's really, injuries can be a big character builder as almost as much as playing. And my daughter, it happened about, she just had the surgery about 2 weeks ago, and she has gone through the full range of emotions, you know, good, bad, and the ugly. But her character will be developed at a higher level because of this, if we use
yes.
it that way. You know, and that's why I think that what you're saying. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just going to agree with you. Like, most definitely. I mean, any kind of scars that we get, emotionally or physically, that creates our character and the person that we are today.
Yes. If we walk around
on
a bubble.
On and off the field.
Yep. If we walk around a bubble, we won't have those battle scars, if you will, red badges
mm-hmm.
of courage, whatever you want to call them, you know what I mean? And it's funny because I also like it because there's a big problem, and I'm going to tie bullying into this. Okay. I see it at the high school level, at least in, I'm going to say Minnesota, I'm not going to say everywhere, but that because there is no discipline other than just saying don't do this or you're going to go to the planning room or whatever they call it, detention
mm-hmm.
nowadays, that, oh, that doesn't happen here. Well, when we grew up, if you spouted your mouth off too much, somebody would take care of you, if you will. And it just would have been a hit in the shoulder, you know, a punch in the stomach or something like this. And then they knew that you weren't going to be pushed around anymore. And it solved the problem.
Yeah.
Whereas today, mm-hmm. everybody can just spout their mouth off with no consequences. Oh, you're going to go to the planning room. Oh,
we have no filter.
I get out of school.
Yeah, no consequences,
you know what I
mean? And that's
yes.
life. I mean, unfortunately, yeah, things have changed, and I agree with that. But I'm a big fan. I'm a preacher of putting your kids into sports. Doesn't matter
yes.
what sport it is. Right now, we're into football, but I noticed a huge difference with my son because he was getting self-esteem, and I would say to him, "Whatever's happening at school or in your life, take it out on the field."
Yes.
Take
some of that aggression that's pent up.
Yes, and it's great for kids when you see your son or daughter on that field and they've tackled for the first time.
Yes.
And just they're like, wow, the sense of being proud. And when we go back to injuries, okay, you got hurt. So what are you going to do? Going to give up? I mean, you ask any of, a football player, retired. We'll go with the retired one. I was speaking with one of the retired CFL players here. Amazing guy. He went through some surgery, and he wrote about it, and I was reading his article, was talking with him. And after all the surgeries he's gone through, the wear and tear on his body, he would still, knowing what he knows today, go back and play the game again because he loves it. It was his passion. So to hear that and see that, I think kids need to feel that as well. I think somehow we've lost that along the way, that
absolutely,
it doesn't matter. You play it because you love it.
Now, let's talk about, because you interviewed, because you mentioned earlier that through the pigskin lipstick, you start off with communication to women, but it really has expanded into the world of players coming to you and say, you know, can we tell you the real truth? So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's giving the perspective so that, you know, we as women will understand the game, and they put it into our terms, which is, you know, ball security, one associated with, like, the last pair of shoes on the shelf. You're going to let someone else take it? No, you're not. You're going to hold on to those things until you get, you know, for your tackle or for your touchdown. So it's been really good that way. And when I do talk to them, I think one of the things I learned really quickly, they're not just a football player. Who are they when they leave the field? And that's where I like to always turn the direction to, because what are they doing in their off season? They're not just the football player who's, you know, running on the field. There's a person underneath the you know, the pads and the helmet. So that's the direction I've been going into, and it's been really great because I've been putting a personality with the name. And it's,
now,
you know,
question,
again, it goes to encouraging.
Is that person that you find the same person that's in the media?
No. It depends. I think anyone would agree with me, and I'm guilty of this too, being a media personality. You put the face on. You wake up every day the same as everybody else, but you paint your smile on like a clown, as you could, you know, you can associate it with that. You go to center ring. You go to center ring. You entertain. You do your thing. You're on fire. At the end of that, you go back to your change room, take the makeup off. Who are you? Are you the same person? Yes, you're the same person, but your tone and delivery is a lot different because you are just a regular person who has regular issues, normal problems. You know, we all put our pants on the same way. You know, so are they different? Absolutely, they're going to be different. Everybody's different when you take them out and you put them into their personal zone, right? We all have the facade that life is great. Is life great? I don't know. If it is, tell me where. I'll be moving there.
or all the time, at least. You know, let's go down this one, because this is a great thing. And I think in the world of the power of positive thinking, and, you know, I read this great book, and I did my yoga 4 times this week, and I meditated 16 times, and, you know, I did the P90X workout in the evening, and I'm a professional, and I did all this in the span of 40 hours. You know, and then by the way, I have 3 kids of my own, and I ran them around. You know, that kind of person.
Yeah.
Kind of talk to us a little bit about that.
All the BS that we absorb on a daily basis? I serve BS on a silver platter. And you know what? People say to me, Tracy, you know, it's almost like BS that you're serving everyone. Like, do you actually take your own advice? Because you can motivate people and make us feel great. But do you take – I said, yes, I eat what I serve. Don't worry. I will not tell someone to do something or motivate someone or say a thing that I love if I haven't lived it or gone through it or tried it. I've always believed, and more so lately, strong mind, strong body. You can't have a strong body if you don't have a strong mind. It doesn't matter what you go through. At the end of the day, what's muscle? If you can't think for yourself, if you can't make your own decisions, if you can't, you know, and so that's where my philosophy comes in with the strong mind, strong body. You know, I work out. I work out because, you know, I've got aggression too. I can't go on a football field because I'd probably get destroyed. But I work out, and I've got kids, and it's balancing life. It's balancing career. It's balancing, you know, family. And I think that we are over-motivated, if you want to put it that way.
Yes,
but
I think that's
whatever,
a great term.
I think, but whatever gets you going, because if you stand still, life is still moving forward. So I recently posted, because I love shoes. Everyone knows I love shoes. You know, what's the point in having running shoes if you're not willing to cross the finish line? Or what's the point in having a sexy pair of high heels if you're not willing to stand tall and be proud? What's the point? You can have all this stuff, but what's the point? You can be motivated till you're blue in the face. I could tell you every day life's great and you're beautiful and you're this and you're that, but if you don't believe it and you're not doing it, what's the point?
Oh, there's more. Oh, that's for everybody. Now, we're talking about, you know, women maybe specifically, but that's for everybody. You know, if you can walk around and tell everybody how great it is and, you know, chow chow or whatever other, you know, weird thing that you might say before you leave somebody, but if you don't really believe it, it ain't going to be any fun for you in the long run. I'll put my little story on this, is that when I was young, I do have a very aggressive mindset. Attack is like, there is no other word than attack in my brain. And to a certain extent, I've had to learn to temper that. But when I was young, I started reading all those positive thinking books. I probably have 200 of them. And I was so overly motivated that I didn't think straight. I common sense, you know, I remember sitting down and praying that, Lord, I need $30,000 tomorrow, and if you don't give it to me, I'm going down. And guess what? I didn't get my 30 grand. And
oh, no.
I'm still here. And I'm still here,
exactly.
And I'm still laughing. You know?
Yeah,
but
and
that's,
you know,
where
what?
You go.
Yes, and I say to people, and it's one thing, I just learned this recently, and I'm a big believer in this. I mean, I'm just as normal as the person next door. I mean, you want to know what my 30-second elevator speech is? Married, divorced, dated, and dumped, and I have two kids. That's my elevator speech. And I talk to women. I support them. I teach them this sport, and I take it, you know, from all levels. But one of the things I tell men and females, fear becomes your reality. And I've learned that. Talk about getting a slap across the face. Fear becomes your reality. So whenever you think it is true that will happen. So, yeah, we're over-motivated and whatnot. And, of course, you're like, oh, should I do this? Well, what did this person say if I did this? What if? It doesn't matter. Go back to the whole strong mind, strong body. Start thinking for yourself. Start being you. If someone doesn't like it, who cares? Somebody's going to come around the corner and somebody else is going to love it. So, great. Enjoy it.
Well, the funny thing is, we on last Friday's show, Sean Goodsell, we were talking about the role of communication in sport. And he's a sports psychologist, been around, done it for 25 years. And what he has seen over the years is every time a young athlete tried to, I'm going to use the word manipulate, because it's appropriate in the sense that he was trying to make friends that, in a way that, like we're talking, where he's trying to be overly positive or, you know, overly nice or all that kind of stuff. And he has found every time, well, I shouldn't say every time because he doesn't see the whole thing, but more times than not, those people do not hang around, because the first bad thing that really you can't control, they end up splitting up anyway.
Of course.
And so, yes.
Of course.
And so you realize that you put all that effort into that facade that things were going great, and then when the first thing that didn't go great, where did they go? Well, you were my friend. You were we were on the team together. You know, and you're like, yes.
It's life. You know, if you can't pretend that life is great, you can't. Life is not perfect. Okay, we all know that. We all have a story. And I always embrace people, like, if you want to know my story, I'm going to tell you my story. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. If you want my advice, I'm going to give you my advice. But just remember, at the end of the day, I'm not here to be your best friend. I'm here to teach you to kick your own ass. Because you know what? If you can't do it, who else is going to do it? So, you know what? Be positive all you want. Some days you just can't be positive. I'm sorry. You think every football player that's on that field is like, hey, guys, this is going to be a great game. No. That's the other aspect.
You can do it.
Yeah,
yes.
You're winning. Hey, Manning,
exactly.
You look great.
Exactly.
So,
all right, we need to go to a quick commercial break. Hold on. We got to go to a quick commercial. Sorry to be so quick, but we'll go to a quick commercial break, and we'll continue this discussion because I think this is about the essence of life. And you can put sport into this, and if you take these ideas and realize that life happens, you'll be much better off. So we'll go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back in a minute.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps, endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com.
Alrighty, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project. And we have been talking with Tracy Lynn from Pigskin Lipstick for the last 35 minutes or so about life and football. And probably more sports than football as well, because when you take these concepts of false reality and fake it till you make it and all these kind of things are all cool things, but or you're a winner just because you showed up, or because your mom paid the $300, you get to make a team, or whatever the situation might be. I think these are the things that I think our society needs to hear, is that you need to have some reality. Is that the right word? You need to have something real. You need to be in reality, if that makes sense. And we've been talking about this. Is how do you view positive thinking and you're all a winner and we're all going to tell you that you did a great job even though you didn't? How do you view that in young people?
How do I view that?
Yeah.
I think it's I think it's BS. Honestly, I think it's just a fancy way of serving that motivational speech on a silver platter. Yeah, we're all great people and we're all nice, and I'm sure that we're all going to win at something in our life. But we are so, again, going back to over-motivated that now we're passing this on to our kids, and our kids don't know what it's like to lose. They don't know what it's like to live in real life, because we bubble wrap them, and because we don't want to get hurt. No one wants to get hurt on and off the field. It doesn't matter. Life happens. I think that the person that you more gravitate towards, if they've lived a life and they're talking about it and they're not sugarcoating it, you're going to actually respond more to them.
This is a great story, because I worked with a girls' team, and one of the girls came up to me after the session, and I want to make the time that we spent. I'm a strength coach by trade, so I was working with them in the area of working out, and I like to have fun, but I'm not a fun, meaning I'm up telling 42 different jokes. I like a little sarcasm, you know, this kind of stuff. And she walks up to me, and she goes, "You know what? You need to be more positive." She said that, and she just kind of smiled a little bit, so I knew where she was going. I said, "Well, do you want me to tell you that you're a winner, that you just did a great job when you did it?" And she looked back at me.
You know what it is? You're setting yourself up for failure. Yeah.
I was like, "Well," she goes, "Well, I guess I never thought of it that way." I said, "Exactly. I mean, I have no problem complimenting, but I also want you to know that if you're not doing well, it also takes a simple note to say, okay, note to self. The coach is telling me that I'm not doing well. I just need to pick it up." And if you leave that simple concept of being real, that it doesn't have to be a catastrophic event, you know, when somebody doesn't give you a compliment, if that makes sense.
Exactly. You could spin it around to relationships. We set ourselves up for failure because we don't know the difference between a fairy tale and reality.
Yes.
Right? And you think that everything's about a glass slipper? Screw that. Give me a steel-toed boot so I can kick someone's ass when they hurt me. I mean, honestly, we don't know. We set ourselves up for failure on and off the field with, you know, you want to talk about kids, you want to talk about motivating yourself, setting your goals. 95% of us have already broken our goal. We're never going to make it the second we say we're going to do it.
Yes.
Or we set them so low. Yeah, or we set them so low because we're afraid that we may not be able to, or, you know, make the goal, or, oh, my God, I'm actually going to have to break a sweat to achieve that goal. So let's just set them low because life is great and, you know, you're so wonderful and I'm winning. Yay. Life's awesome. No. 5 minutes with me, uncensored, I'll put you back on track.
Exactly. Well, this is another thing, too. And it's funny because when you talk about the subject of setting the bar low, when I was going up through youth sports, I was a basketball coach. And I've always, like I've mentioned, I have a very big attack mentality. And even if I lose, it's like, well, screw it, there was a problem. So I'm going to fix it, and then I'm going to come back and I'll attack again, you know, if you will.
Mm.
Well, we were on a team that went into a group. We were a city team that went and competed against some all-star teams. And so we got spanked pretty good. In fact, I've never been beat like 69-15 before, but I
wow.
had to withstand, you know, a serious butt-kicking. And after it, I was like, well, that's enough of that stuff. We're going to go out. We're going to get better, you know, and we're going to come back. And we may not win them all, but we're going to sit there. We're going to be chomping at, you know, at your ankles, and we're going to try to trip you. I mean, not literally, but you know what I'm saying? Well, we're going to figure this thing out, and we're going to compete. Well, I had a lot of the parents all of a sudden come to me and say, you know, we need to go down to that tier two. You know, we've got to win. And I'm like, well, what happened to trying to get better? I think in the long run, we would get better, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember calling the parent meeting, and the lead parent of that group then stood up and said, you know, we need to go down to tier two. And I said, no, I think there's coaches. Well, that started a major, you know, rift in the team that has never been repaired simply because I wouldn't
wow.
go back and just win. You know what I mean? And we ended up going 500 for this. I mean, so we ended up doing okay, you know, but I think the kids got a lot better. You know, I mean, there's so many more things that are going on, but we were 500. You see, we didn't smoke everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, coaches, like the coaches, yeah, like you're the father figure almost in
yes.
the lives of so many kids. When you want to talk about youth athletics, if you're not going to stand up, I'm going to assume as a parent that you know what you're doing, and if you're going to stand up for something, it's because, you know, you're passionate about it. You know, there's a reason. I mean, that's great
yes.
that parents stood up and they had your back. I mean, that's what it is.
Yes. All righty, well, we've come to the end. We've already talked for 45 minutes. Amazing how time flies when you talk about cool subjects.
I know.
If people, I know. I'm ready to go out and
take care of business.
Lipstick, sweat,
and chalk. We covered all the basics.
Exactly. So where can people get a hold of you if they'd like to connect with you and talk more about your philosophy of butt kicking?
They can go to pigskinlipstick.ca, and all the contact information there. Football Talk is there. And, yeah, football is, hey, embrace it. You know, it's a man's mistress. Ladies, you can't fight it. You might as well love it, too.
Exactly. All right, Tristan, I do thank you very much for being on the show today. Thoroughly enjoyed
Well, thanks for
having
me.
You. Absolutely. I would love to have you back on in the future if you're open-minded to it.
Anytime. Well,
Perfect.
All the best,
have
and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye. Amazing stuff. Because I think that is the essence of life in sport, is that you've got to have a balance. You know, sure, you can talk big when you're not on the field and you can talk trash all the time. But in the end, kids really do need to see that there are two sides to life, that it is not all going to be perfect and it's not going to be all protected, that you are going to have some down times, that you need to be real and you need to be told so sometimes in a loving way. So with that, we're going to go off to a commercial break, and then we're going to have Brianna Wall of Optum Pro Cycling on the air to talk about the Nature Valley Grand Prix, her first year as a pro cyclist.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps. Endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are coming live from Minnesota today, and we are talking about pro cycling on the women's side. We have Brianna Wally with us from Optum Health Pro Racing. She is a first-year pro and very excited to be coming to Minnesota, which we are excited to have her. How are you doing today, Brianna?
Hey, I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Well, doing well. So are you prepared to come to the cold state? I hear there's snow planned for June, you know, so that you'll have to...
Oh, boy, really?
Well, you haven't heard about all of our big snowstorms, have you?
No, I haven't.
I would say probably, I don't know the specific days because I'm not good with days, but probably 10 days ago at blizzard here in Minnesota, we had like 6 inches of snow.
Oh, my God.
So you never know.
Well, I knew about the tornado watches, which occurred, you know, last year, and it's kind of been notorious for having some tornado watches, you know, at Cannon Falls, but I haven't heard about the blizzards.
Well, there you go.
That's crazy.
So, yes, it is crazy. So let's give you a little background on yourself. You are an amateur turn pro just this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool. And you've had some really good results over the last couple of years on the criterium side. And then now you've moved over to the road racing side with Optum. And from that standpoint, fill us in a little bit more about how you were able to transition, because that's like a – like every weekend warrior's dream, you know what I mean, to make that transition from starting at more of the entry level of the sport, you know, the weekend races or the weekday races, and then slowly moving your way up through to a more, you know, the bigger events, and then obviously getting a pro contract. How did you do that, and what would you say to others if they wanted to do such things?
Well, It's definitely something to really weigh and consider when trying to go pro. My first taste was, you know, I was doing well in the local scene, you know, with the help of my teammates at the time on the cycling team Ironclad Cycling. It's a Portland-based amateur team. And, you know, our director at the time really pushed the team dynamics, really pushed strategy. So we had a great understanding of that early on as amateurs, as fours going up the ranks. But it was probably, you know, we decided as a team on our women's side, we decided that it was myself, Anna Christensen, and Nona Whitley, and we decided that, you know, we wanted to take on another challenge, not necessarily out of state, but take on, you know, the next race. And we had heard that this is in 2011 in the summer, we heard that at the time it was Peanut Butter Company, now Exergy, Metro Mint, some Tipco gals, and other composite teams were coming to Mount Hood to race, Mount Hood Cycling Classic. And we decided that that would be a good race for us just to kind of get our feet wet and the next step, next caliber of racing, especially with Armstrong being there and bringing on her full squad of Peanut Butter. So, yeah, we all competed. The three of us competed in that race, and to put it lightly, had our butts handed to us. Definitely challenged. And I think it's one of those pivotal points. It's either, you know, one decides to go on with it and really enjoys that next step, or
yep.
are discouraged and, you know, want to keep it local and, you know, it's not fun anymore. But for myself and actually for my two former teammates, we wanted more, you know. So we kept it local for the rest of the season, but I was starting to think, and I was sitting down and talking with my captain, former captain at the time, Anna, about races that we wanted to target the next year, which would be 2012. And through talking and also, you know, brainstorming with our former race director, Dave, he still manages Ironclad, Dave Alderbuse, we decided that a good race to target would be trying to qualify for the Nature Valley Pro Chase team. That's really, I mean, historically kind of it's a fast track just to get that exposure, you know, race with the pros, and then, you know, if one desires, you know, try to get on the pro train. The previous year, let's see, it was in 2011, my now teammate, Jade Wilcoxon, qualified for the Nature Valley Pro Chase team. And then, you know, through her results and experience, earned a spot, or, you know, received a spot on Optum Pro Cycling. And, you know, I had, you know, she's kind of like a local hero, definitely a role model for a lot of us, you know, in Oregon, and I'm sure nationwide now. And so at the time, in around 2012, early 2012, late 2011, I was contacting Jade and asking her lots of questions about, you know, how her experience moving into the pro ranks. And the best piece of advice she said it was, you know, try to qualify for Nature Valley. You know, that'll be a great experience if you can. So that's what I did. And what happened was in
here you are, huh?
Yeah, well, it wasn't. Yeah, and then what happened is in 2012, Anna Christensen and I decided to go down to down here, actually, San Jose, and we raced the. It was one of the pre-qualifiers for 2012, San Jose Omnium. So that consisted of the Mount Hamilton Road Race Classic and then the San Jose Downtown Crit. And there was just two of us in the kind of like the central Northern California scene. And we worked our magic, we worked our tactic. Anna she did a lot of work during that race to keep me safe. We got in a breakaway, early breakaway, and went for the sprint. And that's how that happened. And then we just continued through with the momentum into the criterium, and so that's how I got placed as first in Omnium, and that was that earned me a spot on the Pro Chase team.
Because this is kind of the big thing, is that these are little steps. I mean, they're major steps, but little steps in the outside looking in. Talk to us a little bit about how you were, because you talk a lot about strategy, and so you were literally on purpose making these steps forward. It wasn't,
yeah.
I just magically showed up and, man, I did good one day. You know, and I think that's a big key point in a lot of times, is that if you plan, you can attain your goals. And you may not, but you can attain them. Talk
right.
to us about what were your goals behind the scenes, you know, rather than what actually happened. Were they together? Did you have a setback? How did that work?
I definitely drove the idea because I really it's kind of been a lifetime goal of mine is to take on a passion professionally. In high school, it was ski racing at the time, but I just didn't have the mental strength to go forward with it. And so I knew that, you know, I had, with cycling, I knew that that I have strengths there, and I knew that I had a talent in the sport. And so at that point, it was, you know, it was a very systematic kind of a decision, figuring out the best or maybe like the fastest way to get there. And so that was definitely the initial idea. You know, I started, and then I got my our director on board, and Anna definitely, you know, supported me in pursuing a pro career.
And then how did you – so you were actually working at Yakima as well as training as well? So you were having to do the double dip? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was – it felt like – in a way, it feels like, you know – I mean, it's definitely two jobs at once. You know, Yakima, the rack company, they've been really, really supportive along my journey, you know, with the time off and, you know, doing a little bit of remote working and – you know, still proving myself at work. And even now, I'm still working at Yakima full-time. I'm basically full-time when I'm there. And they let me get away for races. And they fully support me and along the way and also currently. So it's really neat. I'm very fortunate to be working for a manufacturer in the sporting industry.
Yes. Now, and this is the other part, too, is that how many hours a week do you train? You know, or let's just say an average week, you know. And then in combination, because a lot of people would assume that, oh, you're on a pro cycling team, that becomes immediately the immediate success, but there's still a little bit more ways to go. Talk to us about how you manage your schedule.
Well, I'll tell you, in the off-season, it's extremely difficult because I'll be working in the off-season. I'll be working 40 hours a week. And then I've got my base mile training, which can range anywhere from 15 upward to 20 hours a week. So it's really like having two full-time jobs. It's difficult. The best way to manage it, I mean, is you know, I oftentimes split up my workouts, you know, a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours in the evening, or an hour in the morning, a couple hours after work. So split workouts, and then also integrating it into my commute to work. Yakima is based out of Beaverton, Oregon, next to Nike. And I live in northeast Portland, so my commute is about 14 miles, and it's over a hill, so there's about 1,500 feet of climbing just one way. So, you know, integrating that in there. Sometimes, like, it's exhausting, so I'll drive and then do my workout after work and build my commute, you know, home kind of a thing. So definitely it gets very creative.
I just think that I know what it was like for me just to hammer ride my bike three times a week, you know, after working full-time, you know, and it is you know, probably an inspiration to all of us road warriors, you know, that are out on the weekends running around. You know, that you actually can do it during the week, and it just fascinates me. So on that other side, let's talk more about coming to Minnesota. What do you like about the Minnesota? Why do you think the women's race has become kind of that standard for kind of making the next step?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand the question.
Minnesota, or the Nature Valley race, has kind of become this a large piece to the stepping stones for success in women's cycling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you knew why that was, because I know that Dave has been very much, it started off, you know, in the women's side, and it really has developed, you know, that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, as an athlete, is that just kind of like, it's, you know, that's the race you go to? Is that the kind of the thought process?
Well, I mean, Nature Valley really is a prestigious race. You know, it's invite only. And it's notorious for having, in my opinion, I mean, and I, you know, again, I haven't raced every crit that's out there, but from the crits that I've raced and road race, it has Nature Valley contains some of the most difficult criteriums out there. Just from being technical and also field size and the race caliber. I think this is a formula that just attracts folks, and then attracts folks to racing. But regarding women's cycling, you know, I think at least from my experience, you know, on the pro chase side, racing on the pro chase team, you know, there's really a lot of support there in making that happen, you know, and organization that goes behind it. You know, and last year, Michael Engelman, I think for the past 3 years, I want to say he managed the Nature Valley Pro Chase women's team. And, you know, he's also a huge advocate of women's cycling. And I think, I'm not sure who's on board this year, but it seems like it's, you know, there's a big focus for women and promoting women's cycling and development. So I think that attracts a lot of women nationally. You know, to want to be a part of that experience and compete.
I think it's a fantastic race. I think Dave Laporte has always, I don't know if you know Dave, he's the race director, but he's always done a tremendous job. I mean, he's a tremendous individual. I mean, he does it on the side as well, you know, so it's kind of a labor of love, you know, so to speak, you know, for him and I'm sure all the other staff as well.
Yeah.
We come to the end of our time today. Is there any place that people can get a hold of you if they have any questions or they'd like to follow you or any social media sites that you'd like to send people to?
For sure. Just general contact on my website. It's just my first and last name, briannawall.com. There's a little contact link, so that's the best way to receive email. And then I'm also on Twitter. My handler is at Briewall, B-R-I-E, Wall, W-A-L-L-E. So that's probably the best way to follow me on the road.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I wish you the luck. We will probably be down at the races. I'll definitely stop by and say hi, and hopefully you're able to match the same success from last year.
Great. Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity to talk today. And I just want to put a final note in there that dreams are possible, and just go for it. What's there to lose?
Truer than you know. Truer than you know. Everybody that does not at least attempt sits there and probably wonders why, you know, that type of thing. So, again, thank you, Brianna, and we will see you up here in Minnesota in the middle of June.
All right. See you soon.
You have been listening to the McCarthy Project, and remember to always attack life and sport.